So there's a lot on the table here, and I kind of feel like month two is a month where you'll see teams separate. The best teams will start to separate because they've found that rhythm and flow. They've got better players. They've got better depth. They've got better leadership. Maybe they have a more solid culture and foundation. And with that, you'll start to see some of them play better on a more consistent basis. And I believe that's exactly what's happening with the Baltimore Ravens. They were the top seed in the AFC last year. And while the defense isn't quite as good, think about how many points they gave up to Joe Burrow and the Bengals in week number five. They were up for a challenge against the Commanders on Sunday. And this was, according to you, who voted the After Hours Game of the Week. So Ravens and Commanders edging out Cowboys and Lions. It certainly was a lot more competitive. But 42.8% of you chose Ravens hosting the Commanders, while 39.3% of you went with Cowboys and Lions. And yes, we did have two other games in the poll, though those were by far the front runners, according to those of you who voted. We do that every Thursday night into Friday, but actually runs all weekend. So I continue to retweet and reshare, and you can vote pretty much up until the point at which the games kick off on Sunday. Thanks so much for following our show account at Amy After Hours. We're seeing the numbers increase. That's where producer Pete will share various moments in sports or maybe some kind of funny exchange when it comes to, I don't know, Greg Zuerlein trying to warm up as a field goal kicker and the cheerleaders just surrounding him in formation for some reason, unable to see the kicker out there warming up on the field. You know, kickers are people too. So we'll put up funny videos and clips that we think are worth seeing. And in addition to that, you'll get the podcast, the link to the podcast every weekday morning or early afternoon. Sometimes Pete spreads it out, but that's at Amy After Hours. A lot of good intel and information and ways to connect with the show there. And that's where you can find the latest Monday MVP poll. Also on our Facebook page, I did just put up the poll. And producer Pete, I don't know if you can see our Facebook page, but I also chose a gift that would, I think, fall in the snarky category, but I can't help it.
I like snarky.
I did put up two emojis to indicate that I was fooling around, but I don't know if people will take it that way.
Well, let me take a look here.
All right, so he's going to check out the GIF. You all need to check out the GIF as well on our Facebook page because, yeah, I was trying to amuse myself but also amuse those of you who are bound to pile on a certain team that plays deep in the heart of Texas. So, yep, there is a Homer appearance. That's all I'll say. And no, it's not Homer in the Hedge, though I do love the Homer in the Hedge GIF. Did you find it, Pete?
Almost there. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Our wonderful computers are taking the,
Yeah. Well, you're lying. When he says wonderful, he means the opposite of wonderful because they're not wonderful. They're from 1932 or something along those lines.
31.
Long before there were ever computers, and yet somehow we got stuck with these things. But they do allow me to load a GIF, so I'm happy about that. Nice. I feel better now that I got a laugh from Pete.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Fishing for laughs. But yes, I'm being a bit snarky about the Monday MVP. So you'll have to go and check it out on your own. I'm kind of proud of myself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for hanging out with us. All right, let's dive in to Commanders and Ravens and... You know what? It was probably the lowest point of the game for the Ravens when an early drive was interrupted by a Lamar pick off the hands of his target. And that leads to a Washington field goal. Okay. Well, if this is how the Washington defense is going to play, it is going to be able to interrupt the Ravens, except that this was really more about a ball that went off the fingertips of his receiver, a little bit wide, a little bit out in front of him. And so it kind of bounced off him. Not that he couldn't have made an extraordinary catch, but that was where Washington took an early lead. And actually, we had no touchdowns in this game. For two of the highest scoring teams in the NFL, we had no touchdowns in this game until midway through the second quarter. It was a 93-yard march, a five-minute drive, and oh, a theme that would come back over and over again, much to the delight of the Baltimore Ravens fans, but also much to the chagrin of the Commanders.
7:59 left in the opening half. The Ravens looking for their first lead of the day. They break the huddle, sprint to the line. Derrick Henry alone in the backfield. Give us to Henry. Right side looking for a gap. He's got it. He's in. Touchdown, Ravens. Henry alone in the backfield. He'll get the carry. Up the middle. Big hole. Touchdown for the King. Derrick Henry strikes again. And the Ravens extend their lead. They set in a power I formation. Lamar under center. Ricard in front of Henry. Quick toss to Henry. Has a gap. He's across the 40.
Oh, he's gone.
He's out to the midfield. Spins his way all the way down to the Washington 40-yard line. And the King is holding court again.
Derrick Henry. This is one of my favorite storylines of the NFL season through 6 weeks. He's once again in our Monday MVP poll because how do you leave him out? And he's out there week after week. P.S. He spends, or as a side note, he spends a ton of money on physical and mental maintenance, right? So making sure he takes care of his body. But he is out there and he is powering through defenses. He's defying all the stats, the trends, the conventions for 30-year-old running backs. It is so easy to root for this guy because it's not all about him. He just wanted to go to a team that was a contender. He wanted to have an opportunity to prove that he still had some great days in front of him. And boy, did he, yet again for the Ravens. Derrick Henry, 132 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And when they needed to move the chains, when they needed to possess the ball, when they needed to keep it away from Jaden Daniels and the Commanders' offense, Derrick Henry's game. He's good for that. And I thought it was interesting. A couple times on the broadcast, and this was Jim Nance and Tony Romo on CBS, a couple times on the broadcast, they mention, who really wants to tackle that guy? I mean, that's a good point. Who does want to tackle that guy? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So a 3-yard rushing TD early for him, and then later has a 7-yard rushing TD, but he was the one they turned to. He's their new bell cow, which also takes a ton of the pressure and reduces the number of hits off Lamar Jackson. But lest you think that this is a one-dimensional running game, ground game, rushing attack offense behind Derrick Henry, think again.
Lamar from the gun. Takes the snap. Washington rushes four. Lamar fires to the end zone. Touchdown, Mark Andrews! He got open in the back of the end zone. Lamar delivers the ball, and Andrews reels it in.
Wow! Mark Andrews no longer on the milk carton. We found him. We know he can still be productive. This is his best game of the season, no doubt. So yeah, to have Mark Andrews and a lot of the Derrick Henrys we talked about, a ton of the defense standing up to, I mean, battling with Terry McLaurin, but standing up to that Commanders line. So Andrews was great. It was good to see him cap another drive early in the third quarter. I think it was a game that really underscored how many options the Ravens have as long as they're healthy, but that's still, they're a run-first team. 363 total yards of offense. Meanwhile, for Jaden Daniels, he had a couple of smart touchdowns to Terry McLaurin. I mean, scary Terry. Can you imagine how happy he is, even though they lost this game to end their 4-game win streak, how happy he is to have Jaden Daniels finding him along the back of the end zone, right, where he snags a ball that's a little bit high, but put in that place specifically because McLaurin is the only one who can catch it. And what stood out to me is how much traffic there was. So this is in the red zone where Jaden is looking for Terry McLaurin, and there's so many bodies between him and his receiver. And yet he puts it high enough where it's over the outstretched hands of the DBs and the guys that are running interference there in the end zone because Terry's along the back of the end zone, and yet it's right where Terry can grab it and can muscle it down for the touchdown. So yeah, I was just really impressed still with Jaden, and he ends up going, let's see, 24 of 35 for 269. So still really accurate, has a couple of touchdowns, and both the Commanders and the Ravens are now 4-2. But the Ravens' ability to control the ball by controlling the ground game, that part, so good. Jerry Sandusky with the calls on the Ravens radio network, and Derrick Henry, the centerpiece of the offense right now. That's saying a lot considering Lamar Jackson's the reigning MVP.
I feel like everything was working. It's kind of like pick your poison. Everybody did a great job being locked in and executing. You know, just hats off everybody on offense of, you know, putting plays together and be able to finish drives to put ourselves in a position to win.
Just proving we can win games. Just playing Raven football right now. I don't think that really proved anything. Like, we the best offense. You know, there's always room for improvement. It's only like the sixth game. There's always room for improvement, though, because there was still MEs happening out there. You know, we still had tries where we should have put points on the board, the interception, stuff like that.
He was on point against man coverage. They were loading the box up against the run and playing a lot of man coverage, which they had not done a lot of throughout the course. We had a lot of first and second down play action passes up. Guys like Zay running crossing routes and sail routes away from those guys, and they were on our guys. But enough separation. Lamar dotted. These guys made contested catches on the run.
John Harbaugh ended up cutting his press conference short. I don't know if you all saw this or heard about it, but early in the game between the Chargers and the Broncos, and this was taking place in Denver, Jim Harbaugh ends up in the blue tent. Now, initially, it was reported or described on TV as though he was going into the blue tent to check on a player, which I'd never seen before. And they noted the same on the broadcast. I'd never seen that before. And then they realize that whatever player they thought was in the tent was actually still on the field. I think it was Quentin Johnston, I think. Anyway, it come to find out Harbaugh was in there because he wasn't feeling well. Now, I thought maybe he needed to use the bathroom, something like that. And so he went to the locker room, but they actually reported that he was dealing with an illness. So as this is happening, I don't know if someone said something to his brother, who's in front of the microphone at the podium post-game for the Ravens, or if he got a text or something along those lines. You wouldn't think he would have his phone right there. But he did abruptly cut short his press conference and walk out because he wanted to go check on his brother. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Ravens, they look good in a variety of ways. We know that Commanders defense is a work in progress. They're still learning. Remember last year they traded away a couple of their best pieces, but Dan Quinn's got them fired up, and to win four games in a row and be sitting at 4-2 on top of the NFC East, I still would say is ahead of schedule for the Commanders, whatever proverbial schedule or ideas people had about Washington. Now, as for Jaden Daniels, over 300 yards, they go 2-for-3 in the red zone, but in a bunch of cases are settling for field goals or not coming away with the points that they wanted.
We just didn't finish some opportunities. Great defense that we were able to go up and have a challenge against and face today. But at the end of the day, man, we just focus on us. Man, we got to go out there and we got to execute. They got some stops, and, you know, that's what they pride themselves on doing.
Certainly a tough game, and that's what we talked about in the locker room, is lopsided as it felt, still in the fight at the end. And so we do have a tough crew with an attitude to battle. There's going to be a lot to learn from this game. And I also told the team that, you know, like, these are, you know, got to apply the lessons that will be given today.
As much as Dan Quinn told us this is not a gauge for them, an evaluation of where they are or how far they've come or what they still have to work on, I would disagree with that. Not that this is some statement about the Commanders, just it is a measuring stick. It is an opportunity for them to see how they line up and how they measure up against one of the better teams in the league, a team that has a bunch of winning experience and already has that winning culture and that foundation. So I do think that's the case, and I think the Commanders measured up well. The final score is a touchdown. It's well within reach, and with the missed opportunities out there for the Commanders, that's a big deal. And now these teams have the same record, which bodes well for the Baltimore-DC Beltway series and just in general football in that part of the country. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page. You can go check out my snarky gif. Also, I didn't put a snarky gif up on Twix. That's where producer Pete posted the poll for Monday MVP. Derrick Henry is in fact a part of it because, I don't know, we might just need to lock him in there because it certainly seems like as long as the Ravens are playing as well as they are, he's a major piece of how they've been able to turn after an 0-2 start.
We should name the Monday MVP after him.
The Derrick Henry Monday MVP.
For this year.
I like it.
And retire him from the consideration.
Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair to Ravens fans.
That's true.
So if we're talking about the AFC North now, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, both 4-2. Cincinnati getting the win on Sunday Night Football, now at 2-4. The Browns are at 1-5. Why don't we get to the rest of the AFC North coming up? Because the Steelers, huge milestone for them. And I cannot overstate how big the milestone for them. Getting the win in Vegas, yes. And Tomlin was thrilled with the Steelers fans who traveled. So it wasn't silver and black. It was gold and black there dominating Allegiant Stadium. If you saw any of the game, you know that's the case. But it's not just about the Steelers getting the win. There's another element of this game that I think is really important to note. And then we'll talk about the Raiders as they turn to Aiden O'Connell. The turnovers were brutal, not just his, but in general, the turnovers were bad for Antonio Pierce's team. And then we'll talk about the Browns. I know I accidentally put them at Lambeau Field earlier, and then we went to a break, so I didn't have a chance to correct myself. Once it dawned on me, it took me about 3 seconds. Oh, see, there's my Simpsons moment. But the Browns were on the road. They were at Philadelphia, and the Eagles had to rally. I'll say that about the Browns. So we'll get to the rest of the AFC North coming up. 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us. If you're waking up on your holiday Monday morning, maybe you don't have a holiday. We don't have a holiday. We're certainly glad to keep you company and help you shake out those cobwebs, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Direction. Harris alone setback. We'll get the pitch. The Steelers trying to seal the edge. Najee, able to slide inside one tackle. Get down the sideline. Najee Harris racing towards the end zone. Sprawls out. Is he in? Touchdown Steelers. What a run by Najee Harris. Fields under center. Miller in motion. Play action pass. Now Fields wants to run. Has a couple blockers in front. He's into the end zone. For a 7-yard touchdown run for Justin Fields to put the Steelers up 28-7.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A fantastic rushing performance for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And more than half of the real estate covered by a physical, tough, and punishing bunch of runs from Najee Harris. His first rushing touchdown of the season. And how about this? This is a milestone for the Steelers in 2024. First rushing touchdown for Pittsburgh this year by someone other than Justin Fields. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He does have a pair of rushing touchdowns himself this game on the road in Las Vegas. And do you remember, if you don't, I'm here to jog your memory. Last week, when the Raiders were still starting Gardner Minshew, when the Raiders got out to a quick start against the Broncos, they had, I think it might have been a Gardner Minshew pass to Brock Bowers. Don't quote me on that. But they started out with a long touchdown on their opening drive. And I said at the time, that was the high point for the Raiders. Oh, it happened again. That's not a recipe for success. The opening drive for the Raiders goes 70 yards. Alexander Mattison gets into the end zone for the 7-3 lead over Pittsburgh. And once again, that's the high point. It was all downhill from there. Suffocating Pittsburgh defense with 3 takeaways against the Raiders. A block punt only allowing 57 rushing yards to Las Vegas. 14 points off turnovers. And in the meantime, the Steelers able to amass 183 yards rushing. Again, most of those, or more than half of those, coming for Najee Harris, but Fields also had a pair of rushing touchdowns. The calls on Steelers radio in Vegas, where it very much sounded like it was a home game for Mike Tomlin's crew.
Just really taken aback by the support that we got here from our fans. Steeler Nation, continually, man, they show up, man. I just thought it was awesome, man. The environment for a road venue was special. It was special to be a part of.
Transforming Allegiant Stadium into the gold and black. And we certainly know that Vegas is a destination, which is one of the reasons why they wanted a team there, the NFL and Mark Davis. But it's not a great home atmosphere. Now, having said that, it's a little bit like Oakland, where the Raiders departed from, in that if you put a winning team on the field, more people will show up, more people will want to be there. It's in a great spot. It's easily accessible. It's right at the south end of the strip. You can stay at any of those hotels in the area, the MGM hotels, and have just a quick walk. Well, quick. Have a walk to get to the stadium. It's a beautiful venue as well, but they'll continue to sell a good chunk of their tickets to visiting fans who are making that trip until they're a better team. As for TJ Watt, he is still a wrecking ball. Note, he's still a wrecking ball. No sacks in this one, but two forced fumbles and two tackles for loss.
Can't say enough about TJ. That hadn't already been said in terms of his ability to impact the game in a variety of ways. It is special. We're not surprised by it, but it's still special.
Agreed. It's a lot of fun to watch. And now with the injury to Aiden Hutchinson, as much as that sucks, it leaves fewer guys who would be in contention for that Defensive Player of the Year award. Let's hope we don't lose any more of them. But Aiden was leading the NFL with 7.5 sacks when he got hurt on Sunday. Justin Fields, modeling numbers, no passing touchdowns in this one, but we did not see Russell Wilson, though he was active for the first time this season as QB2. As for the Raiders, they go to Aiden O'Connell, and yeah, starts out on a high note, but really can't sustain anything after that. Unable to conjure up a whole lot of offense against Pittsburgh. And here's the deal. They still have no Devontae Adams, though Antonio Pierce called him a Raider earlier last week. No Jacoby Myers in this one, who was getting a lot of the work with Devontae out. And no Zamir White, who'd had a couple of strong games as the running back. And Aiden O'Connell stepping right into that.
I think we have confidence in our guys. The guys, obviously, some guys are getting in there for the first time or maybe not had as much of an opportunity. But, I've gotten reps with all those guys, and so there's really no excuse. You got to go out and execute, and, you know, that's our job.
It starts with discipline, right? So, we have four penalties, but they were at critical moments. The turnover thing is embarrassing. We don't respect the ball enough, so we don't even deserve a chance to put ourselves in position to win.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce does not mince words, and I appreciate that about him. Maybe it comes across as harsh. A couple of weeks ago, he said that guys were making business decisions, meaning they were playing for their own contracts, their own health, as opposed to the team. But somebody's got to get these guys focused. And I know there have been a ton of changes, but this is harsh. Look back at their two wins, one of them coming in a late rally at Baltimore, and think, who was that team? Of course, without Devontae Adams, the offense sorely suffers. 2-4 now for the Raiders, while the Steelers move to 4-2. So while we're talking AFC North, Ravens at 4-2, Steelers at 4-2, Bengals got the win Sunday night. They're at 2-4. Didn't quite look like their game against the Ravens, but a win is a win. And that leaves us with the Browns. The Browns on the road at Philadelphia. And here's what Jalen Hurts had to celebrate in week number 6. Both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith returning to the field after injuries kept them out for multiple weeks. And A.J., he was right in the mix immediately. A physical touchdown grab in the end zone. I just love that he will fight you for the ball. 22 yards was his first touchdown catch. Now, Cleveland is able to tie this game in the first half on a blocked field goal that's recovered by Oh, friend of the show, Rodney McLeod. He's been on the show 3 times, I think. We love Rodney now with Cleveland. So Rodney picks up that block field goal and takes it 50 yards to the house. And they're tied at 10 at half. And I can understand why Eagles fans would be getting a little nervous. But Philadelphia, having its top 2 receivers back on the field, allows them to be able to go for the kill shot. Wait, is that going to get me fined by the NFL? Go for the kill shot in the fourth quarter.
Hurts in the gun, standing at the 50. Ball's at the 45. Barkley to his right. Eagles moving the football. Hurts again in the gun. He's back. He's looking. He fires. Wide open. Smith. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Devontae Smith.
Hello.
Hurts in the gun. Slot to the far side. Barkley to his right. On second down, he's back. He's looking. He is going deep down the far side of the field. And it is caught. A.J. Brown at the 10.
Oh, that's just
what a throw, what a catch.
Merrill Reese and Mike Quick cut off, but that's definitely them on the Eagles radio network. And so Brown is back for a half dozen catches, 116 yards and a TD. And then Devontae with a terrific 45-yard scamper for a score up the sideline. He has 3 catches and that touchdown as well. And you can imagine how much that means to Jalen Hurts. Now, for the Eagles, Nick Sirianni. He'd been hearing it from the fan base. A lot of people calling for his ouster. Now, that's nothing new, for heaven's sakes. Every time the Steelers don't win a game, people are calling for Mike Tomlin's head. Sometimes when they do win a game. We've got people calling for Mike McCarthy's head yet again. This morning, I walked by one of my colleagues out in the newsroom as I was heading over to another studio to listen to some audio earlier this hour, and my colleague, who's a huge Cowboys fan, says Mike McCarthy's gotta go. I mean, this is pretty much a rite of passage. Almost every week, someone's calling for the head of a coach. How about Jaguars fans calling for Doug Peterson to get the axe? So that's nothing new. But Nick Sirianni, he's been on the hot seat, and he's been hearing it from fans. So did you see, and I don't know, Pete, if we can find a quick video of this to use on our show account at Amy After Hours, but Sirianni, toward the end of the game, now he's a lot more animated on the sidelines, people noticed, but he's pointing to the fans, or he's got his head and his ear kind of cocked to the fans, and he's putting his fingers behind his ear, cupping his ear, so as if to say, I can't hear you. Where are you? Where are you now? What do you have to say about me? Oh, my favorite Toby Keith song, How Do You Like Me Now?
No, just excited. Just excited to get the win. Just excited to get the win. Yeah. It's hard to win in this league, so we're excited to get the win. Our fans created a couple false starts that really helped us win this football game. But just excited to get the win, and appreciate the link support.
As if you couldn't hear the fans that were ripping you. How many times did he say excited to get the win? That's your company line. Well, what about being more fired up and more verbal, just in general, more active on the sidelines?
I was having fun, and I kind of got some feedback from the guys, is the sense of like, we need you back, Nick. We need your energy. We need your focus. We need your, like, I've gotten that from a couple players, and you know, when I'm operating and having fun, I think that breeds to the rest of the football team.
And Jalen Hurts echoed that. He said he didn't see what Sirianni was doing with the fans, but that he'd encouraged him to be more active and to be more energetic and to get back to being himself. Sometimes, as humans, we get so caught up in what people are saying about us that it tends to damper who we are. We momentarily maybe change how we act and how we react, and we're carrying that weight. It was good to see Nick back to his old self. As for the Browns and Deshaun Watson, I fear this is exactly who he is. He's not going back to his old self that he was in Houston when he was a Pro Bowl quarterback. No offensive touchdowns today. The only TD for the Browns coming with that Rodney McLeod punt return for the touchdown. Or I'm sorry, block field goal for the touchdown. And so Kevin Stefanski is daily answering questions about whether or not Deshaun is still the starter.
Yes. Yeah, I thought there were some good moments. You know, we need to, obviously, we need to protect. We need to keep him clean when we can. That's a good front. And I thought the guys battled like crazy. Had some decent opportunities there, but got to find a way to be more explosive.
I know it's not Deshaun completely, but if you watch the games, he's not the same quarterback. Out of sorts. Maybe it's not wanting to get hit. Maybe it's the fact that he's been hit so much. The fact that he feels like he's out there on an island. 16 of 23, 168 yards. The Browns do not have an offensive touchdown in this game and still have not put more than 20 points on the board this season. The defense is doing absolutely everything it can, even though it's also got guys who are injured and banged up, like Myles Garrett, who's playing through his injuries. But if they're not going to make a change, then they're going to have to look in the mirror. If Deshaun Watson is your guy, then you're going to have to trust him to lead.
We got to really lock in on and really be truthful with ourselves on what are we doing. Not just one or two guys, but all of us. And I'm being the quarterback of this offense with Kevin and Ken. We have to do something a little bit. I don't know what we have to do, but we need to do something to lock in so we don't cost ourselves any more games, because, you know, we gotta really turn this around.
If for no other reason, even if you don't believe that Jameis Winston is a better quarterback or that he would give you a better chance to win, if for no other reason, then the locker room being discouraged and frustrated and feeling like they're not going to be able to break through, maybe it gives a jolt to your locker room. I know that they've got a really porous offensive line, though they did run for 100 yards in this game. So that's something for the Cleveland Browns. It was running back by committee. Not a whole lot of time for Deshaun to throw. He gets sacked 5 times by that Eagles defense, hit another 10 times. So again, maybe we're talking about happy feet or seeing ghosts on the field. It's not all on him because he's not getting a ton of protection. But if you're going to stand in front of your locker room and Deshaun Watson's still your quarterback, well, then of course you're going to have to help him as much as you can. And if not, maybe consider making a change, because it might be a jolt to those guys in the locker room who are working their arses off and not seeing much to show for it, feeling like maybe their efforts are in vain. At A-Law Radio, that's where you can find the Monday MVP poll, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, let's see, Saints were in New Orleans. Oh, sorry. Yes, the Saints were in New Orleans. That makes sense. The Bucs were in New Orleans to take on the Saints after Hurricane Milton. So they haven't been home yet since evacuating last Tuesday, or they hadn't been on Sunday. And also in that division, Falcons for a little bit got a test from the Carolina Panthers. Two of the oldest quarterbacks in the league on the same field, Andy Dalton and Kirk Cousins. Glad to have you with us. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report, sponsored by Progressive Insurance, protect your home and auto, save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's lead off with game one of the NLCS in Los Angeles.
He has reached twice, walking a single, has scored once.
And he takes it the other way, dumps it down in the left field. Ohtani coming around. He will score. RBI single, Freddie Freeman on one leg. He's got his second hit and the sixth Dodger run.
The call on Dodgers radio. Dodgers beat the Mets 9-0. LA pitching ties the 1966 Orioles for the longest scoreless inning streak in a single postseason with 33. Dodgers starter Jack Flaherty, 7 innings, 2 hits, six strikeouts. Now to the NFL.
The Bengals line up in a pistol formation with Chase Brown behind Joe Burrow. All goes in motion. They give it to Chase Brown.
Nice.
He's got the first down.
See ya.
The middle of the field. 10, 5, rolls into the end zone. Touchdown! Bengals with 1:52 to go, and that is coffin nails.
The call on Bengals radio. Bengals beat the Giants Sunday night 17-7. Joe Burrow with a 47-yard touchdown run in the first quarter, and you heard Chase Brown put the game away with a 30-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter. Elsewhere, Lions over the Cowboys 47-9. The Lions' Aiden Hutchinson suffered a broken tibia in the third quarter, and he underwent immediate surgery. Other games, Falcons over the Panthers 38-20, Steelers 32, Raiders 13, the Chargers over the Broncos 23-16, Colts 20, Titans 17, Eagles beat the Browns 20-16, Bucks 51, Saints 27, the Texans roll over the Patriots 41-21, Packers 34, Cardinals 13, the Ravens beat the Commanders 30-23, and the Bears over the Jaguars 35-16. Game 2 of the WNBA Finals, the Liberty over the Lynx, 80-66. That series tied at a game apiece. I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram. Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sometimes Baker Mayfield is a wild ride. We know this. And it was a thoughtful week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We heard from Baker. We heard from Mike Evans. We heard from many of them as they had to evacuate with their families and pets. I was grateful that Baker included that detail from New Orleans. The Bucs making a way for them to get out of Tampa ahead of Hurricane Milton. Now, they wouldn't have been back by Sunday, obviously. They spent the week in New Orleans getting ready for a football game. And to see the way they started the game, and to watch Baker play, you can understand it was a bit of an up and down week. A lot of worries that had nothing to do with football. And yet, having to focus on football, especially in a division game in the NFC South. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. For the Buccaneers and the Saints, this is familiar territory, right? These are two teams that have combined for the last six South Division titles. The Saints, three in a row, and now the Bucs, three in a row. And Tampa Bay, they were rolling pretty early in this game with a five-minute touchdown drive and Baker to Chris Godwin. More and more, the time that he spends with Godwin and Mike Evans and the other veterans on that team, you can see where they've developed a rapport. Maybe not quite Tom Brady-esque, but getting closer in terms of their rhythm together and their familiarity. Also, Antoine Winfield returns a Chris Olave fumble 58 yards for a touchdown, and the Bucs are out 17-0 in the first half of this one. But as often happens when we're talking about division games, but as often happens too, I would think, when you've got a week the way that they have with so much on their minds and so much on their plates, New Orleans gets a spark from an unlikely source. Not so much the person, just the play. A punt return touchdown for Rashid Shaheed. 54 yards for him. And then Baker Mayfield throws back-to-back interceptions, and that lead is shrunk because of the ball. Right back to the Saints. They have opportunities. They're able to score. Spencer Rattler has his first career touchdown pass to Bub Means. And so right there, they're in within striking distance as Baker gives them, essentially hands them these opportunities, and they're able to score 10 points and also able to pull within a field goal. So this one was up first for the Bucs, and then down, and then up again, and then down. I mean, you're facing a rookie quarterback, and so in this particular case, they're not facing Derek Carr, and maybe he makes I don't want to say a better effort, because Rattler was trying. He was working hard, and he had a couple of good throws. But if it's Derek Carr, maybe it's not quite so wild from point to point. The Saints defense, though, forget Rattler for a second in the offense, because we did get touchdown later from Alvin Kamara. The Saints defense was completely ripped apart. Even though Baker had three interceptions, that defense allowed nearly 600 yards of total offense, 277 yards on the ground, and they go 4 for 5 in the red zone. So yeah, Baker was kind of hit or miss. He was either all or nothing in this game. Sean Tucker, huge game for him with 136 rushing yards, a career game for him. Tampa Bay had a bunch of penalties, but they also had plenty of offense to cover. They end up scoring 51 points. So I guess ultimately after the week that they had for Todd Bowles and his crew, it's most important that they get the win.
I mean, it makes it extra special for these guys. You know, the biggest thing, a lot of them were playing with heavy hearts, just seeing what was happening in Tampa Bay, and, you know, hearts pour out to the city. It's a tough city. It's a strong city. We don't know what we're going back to, but in our small part, and this time we wanted to win one for the city, and we're going to try and help any way we can when we get back. So after going through a week like this and coming out on top, you know, it made the guys feel special.
That was a full group effort on offense. You know, obviously had a few bad situations there with some tip balls, and the first interception was definitely the worst one. Just not a good decision. Guy had it covered up pretty well, but just to not flinch. There's going to be ups and downs, but that's why you play 60 minutes. There's two halves for a reason, so just to regroup and find a way.
As for Dennis Allen and the Saints, I would think this is another guy who's potentially on the hot seat. 51 points and nearly 600 yards?
We didn't tackle. I mean, I think that was the biggest thing. I mean, I thought our tackling was atrocious in the game. When you don't tackle, you give up explosive plays and you give up big plays, and then it just kind of snowballed on us a little bit, but it was not good enough. We have to tackle better. I mean, I thought that was the biggest thing in the game. We didn't tackle in the game, and it was not a good defensive performance at all.
So for Dennis Allen and the New Orleans Saints, after winning the first two games of the year, they're now 2-4. And yeah, as much as they've got turnovers and they had a rookie quarterback, this is really more on the defense. And you hear Dennis Allen say it was atrocious tackling. The Bucs, meanwhile, are 4-2. So they survived despite the three turnovers, because they're able to just go back out there and put together another scoring drive. 51 points. And they're on top of the NFC South along with the Falcons. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.